Up. That'll do. Right, don't move. Jesus. Hello, welcome to the big show. Yes, we're here to discuss all the crap that's gone in the world of tech this week. And we're not going to talk Apple FBI, and we're not going to talk encryption end-to-end or otherwise, which is useful, I suppose. I'm pretty sure we're not. Joining me to discuss the entire week in tech, what a fantastic bunch we've got here. Starting us off, it's Techie Tez. How you doing, man?
I'm great. Thank you very much.
You, of course, are famous for the Well Cow episode, which was just one of the classic BTN episodes, I have to say. You've done the Mac Show as well for the first time this evening.
I have. I feel I did okay. I think next time I'm going to learn a little bit more about everything Apple.
You didn't talk very much. No, that's true.
No.
But your Mac Cherry has been broken, mate.
It has. Thank you very much for...
Pleasure. I guided you through it, and I'm glad. Next to him, talking to cherries, Jeff Gamet.
Huh? How are you doing, Ewan?
I'm all right, mate. When are we setting up you, me, and Brian for...
Tomorrow, right? We're doing that tomorrow.
What time? Because I haven't heard anything back from you.
Oh, let's see. Do you want to shoot for the same time that you would otherwise do the Mac show?
3 o'clock
on a Friday.
Yeah. Okay.
So that would be what, like an hour ago our time right now?
No.
2 hours ago?
No. So that would be 10 a.m. Eastern.
11. I will have to do it a little bit later because I won't be done.
Let's do this after the show.
Let's do it after the show.
Okay, mate. Yeah, great.
But yes,
but me versus Chaffin on the Apple thing.
Yeah, it'll be. We're gonna have a lot of fun. Also, if at some point you'd like me to explain to you why popping someone's cherry is completely inaccurate, I am more than happy to do so.
After the show, maybe. All right.
Okay.
Cool. Next to him, it's Ian Grant, who's done camera up again. Jesus, dude, put the camera down, man.
I've not touched it,
honestly. Oh, haven't you? Hang on, maybe it's me. Hang on, maybe it's me then. Maybe it's me. No, it's not me. It's you.
Good evening, everybody. See you.
How you doing, mate? From North Yorkshire, my compadre at the Rither Arms. Good to have you on, mate. Been up to much?
No, the usual work.
In and out.
Tonight is brought to you by... My voice is a bit croaky tonight because I'm brought to you by day nurse and later on by night nurse.
Oh, okay. The night nurse is coming in a bit later, is she?
Yes, definitely. Turns up me in later on, I'll be fine.
Oh, jolly good. Jolly good. Next to him, it's Roy Boy.
Hello, mate. How are you?
What the hell's been happening with you, mate? You've been renting people, haven't you?
Well, yeah.
I got the wrong word there.
Today, and, but more importantly, more excited about tomorrow. You might be excited about this.
Go on.
I haven't spoken about it before, but I've been doing a bit of work for free for a non-profit organisation. About ISS link up tomorrow with Tim Peake.
You're joking.
Wow.
Yeah, I've been running a website. It's a schools and university program that I kind of did out of a bit of kindness and all that sort of thing. Been really enjoying it, but I've got an invite tomorrow. So tomorrow at 2:40 tomorrow, I am going to be in a room doing a live link up with Tim Peake. I really can't wait.
I am so envious. Cool. Are you going to mention British Tech Network on there?
I will try my best.
You slip that in, boy, and I'll slip you more than anything you've ever had before in your entire life.
I kind of did it the favour to someone, and we set up the website and registrations and the resources for all the schools to join, and then this week... I actually got an invite, so I'm heading over there tomorrow afternoon, and oh god, I'm really pumped for it.
I'm assuming, mate.
You're referring to Tim Peake, the astronaut, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
That is really cool.
Because Tim Peake that delivers my paper is not what he was going for.
No,
you never know. Tim Peake that delivers your paper might be a fascinating person.
I'm sure he is.
But he's not an astronaut.
Absolutely no, but he's not. No, he really isn't.
Yeah. I'll be filming, so I'll send a few things up.
He's a bit of a space cadet, but that's a different conversation. And last but by no means least, it's our man in Leeds, the man with his finger on the whip it pulse And the man with Jeff Boycott on speed dial. How you doing, mate?
I'm really good. I'm good, Ewan. I'm very jealous about what Parliament is doing tomorrow.
It is. There is no show after that, really, is there? That's the trouble.
That is it.
Sorry.
It's like
game over.
Top that.
Yep. No, I'm really good. Really good. Busy week, but
cold.
Good. Looking forward to the weekend.
The week in tech, what's going on, what's been happening? I normally kind of say who's the first to put it in the chat room, but I've kind of got a list already. How to get rid of Microsoft Windows 10 lock screen advertisements. Who put that one in?
Me, hey, mate.
That was you. You're fast on the command and paste, aren't you? Go on then, mate. Yeah. Talk us through it. So where is this lock screen appearing?
So, well, for the last couple of days, and I claim that I know a lot of things about Windows and all that sort of stuff, but for the last couple of days, Windows users are complaining that when they turn their PCs on, they're getting a lock screen where they normally get their wallpaper of their family and friends or their last holiday, but they're getting adverts all of a sudden. And as part of the advert they get on the lock screen, they get links to the Windows Store where you can buy, I think the advert that they're seeing at the moment is for the latest Tomb Raider game. And apparently, obviously doing a lot of reading up, this is a feature of Windows 10. And I'm thinking, that's not really a
showing you
kind of thing.
A feature, wow.
Yeah, a feature, yeah. And I don't know if any of you have heard about it before, but it's a feature within Windows 10 that's turned on by default. And it's really easy to turn off. But I think there's going to be millions of people, because I think they're saying that millions of people have upgraded to Windows 10. They then get this feature. And
so this wasn't there, and now it is there. Has this come down by the Tuesday update?
Well, from what I've reading, it's they're saying that it's a feature in Windows 10 that they were going to do promotions via the lock screen. But I think more for the kind of the techie among us who know more about this, who read the tech press, would know more about it. But I said I didn't know, and I've asked people, did you know about it? But the more and more people I know, they said, yeah, do you know what? I got a Tomb Raider advert this morning.
Yeah.
And obviously Windows 10 is a free upgrade. And I thought that, giving away a free upgrade to Windows 10, it was a good move by Microsoft. But it really proves that free really isn't free, because they're selling you out again. But like I say, for the million people who get the Windows 10 upgrade icon and they upgrade, I think it's a bit of cheek of Microsoft to enable this. So it's... I don't know what Windows 10's been out. I don't know how long it's been out. Months and months and months. But they obviously decided to turn this on, and all of a sudden people are getting things. And for the average Windows user who doesn't really know what's going on, they're going to think, what the hell's happened? And I think this really tarnishes Microsoft's reputation in a way. Because I know, like, when you buy Kindles and stuff, you get adverts, and that's a known thing and all that sort of stuff. But for Microsoft to do this, it really put me off. I don't know what you thought.
It does just feel like it cheapens the product a bit.
Yeah.
I mean, on the Microsoft side, there is a lot of advert-based stuff within Windows 10. There's a whole host of things you'd need to really go in and turn off. If you look at the privacy settings as well, there's other bits and bumps of stuff they'll feed you if you're not careful.
Ian, can you at least try once tonight to be in camera?
Oh, we're not. Oh, bloody hell.
Yeah. This is really advertising via stealth. I go back to your point, what you just said then, Paul, about the, at least with the Kindle. So when they did the Kindle Fire promotions, you could pick up the Kindle Fire 7-inch for, I think it was about £50 UK, ad-free, or you could pick it up for £40 UK, and they were very clear. You got supported ads, and that was exactly what you've just described on the lock screen. When you go to unlock it, there's an ad there. As soon as you unlock it, it's ad-free once you're in there. But you know what you're buying as soon as you sign up to it. I think if Microsoft had to put something out here to say, free download, ad-supported, or you pay X pounds, and as part of that, there is ads as per the lock screen, fair enough, but stealth advertising, I'm not into that one.
But you got it free.
I think it's showing up just give you a
bit of forewarning.
Windows 10 installations that were free upgrades, or on all Windows 10, or meaning if you've paid for Windows 10, will you also see these ads?
It's the free upgrade.
I paid for a pro upgrade, I can't remember why. I think I needed some IIS stuff or something. So I paid for the upgrade to Pro, and I'm not seeing adverts. So I do wonder if that's possibly, as you say, a free thing.
But I mean, if you take something free of charge, it's kind of like signing bend over on your rear end, isn't it? I mean, it's
no, yeah. but the whole thing behind the free Windows 10 thing was then bit like it's not been like XP again, where XP hang around for years and years and years, where they wanted to get people moved to Windows 10, and people who had XP or you know, Windows, yeah, with XP hung around for like, you know, 10 years more than it needed to. And they wanted to get people onto Windows 10 from Windows 7 and Windows 8. And shoving adverts in, I think people are going to go look at this and go, do you know what? It's easy to turn off. But you have to go and look, you know, how to turn it off. I think a lot of people don't know what's going on. Well, I think they've got a virus or something. I don't know. But it's a really horrible stealth way for Microsoft to make some sort of money out of what they did say was free. And they did say free, free, free all the time.
So this has come down with zero warning then, Paul?
Well, if you follow technology and you look at the release note for Windows 10, yes, it does say we will do some promotion through the lock screen.
Who the bloody hell reads the release notes?
Exactly. That's the point. It's the tens of millions of people who suddenly get a Tomb Raider advert instead of the picture of the grandkids who are probably phoning up their nearest and dearest through their tech support going, I've got a picture of Lara Croft on my screen.
Yeah. Sorry, that wasn't.
No, that came out, Terry. You're in a muggle. Cut the better of you there, mate. I think you've just got to accept the. So Apple give away their OS free of charge, and I download it every single time, just thinking, well, it's Apple giving away the OS, and I'm lucky because actually, clearly, I have a company who does have some class left, despite the current debacle. And they're far better than Windows because they have no class whatsoever that they're putting this in their OS. None whatsoever. Because it's crass. But you did get it free. You can't defend that.
But you're doing Microsoft a favour by downloading it for free because you don't...
I'm sure they don't see it that way, mate.
But they were forcing like free downloads so you don't get into this kind of legacy thing of having XP around. You don't then... The people who then actually admit, you know, accepted download, you probably present them with 30 pages of user agreements. They're not going to read it. You know, you're doing Microsoft a favor by upgrading to the latest OS. Do not actually, you know, lambast them with adverts. That's really unfair.
You're doing them a favor by getting a free copy of Windows 10. That's pretty screwed up logic, dude. I've got to say, I'm your biggest here, but you know.
No, because Microsoft want you to have the latest version of the OS. They want to sell you the Windows Store apps. I wouldn't disagree with that,
but you're hardly doing them a favor by not giving them any money.
No, but that's, you know, I'm talking to you guys as we're guys who probably need, who read the tech press, who know these sort of things. There are 10 million people who clicked on that upgrade icon and did it. And they're probably waking up, you know, the last couple of days going, what the hell's happened? And Microsoft could have warned people that, you know, they do a lot of pop-ups now through the update center. They could have said, as part of this, you're going to get adverts. Click on this link to...
There you go.
Click on this link and you can control what we put on your lock screen. But they did. They just went, stuff you, here's an advert.
And I like how Microsoft in the article it says, you know, you can switch them off. Just go to settings, personalization, lock screen, and then uncheck the box that says get fun facts, tips, tricks, and more on your lock screen. At no point there does it say anything about advertisements.
No, I mean, the first thing they get is an advertisement.
Yeah,
you know, Microsoft could have avoided all of this this hurt butt syndrome that's happening right now. If they had just made it very clear right from the beginning that one of the things they were going to do for people to get Windows 10 for free was show ads on their lock screen, people would have been really annoyed and angry that Microsoft was doing it, but at least they would have known.
And if Microsoft give an opt out by charging an amount of money to opt out, no argument then.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that would have been better, but they did.
But it does benefit them that you've upgraded.
Nice.
No, I think that's a total lack of class. But equally, you got it free. Steady on.
And so what you're saying, Ewan, is people got Windows 10 for free and they got what they paid for.
Yeah, exactly. An advert up the butt.
Yeah.
Pretty much. A rolled up Lara Croft suppository.
There's probably a web page for that.
There's probably a web page. Right, chat room, you're off finding Lara Croft suppository. See what's out there. Do that Google search. I'm not doing it. Don't do it on this network, Muller. No.
And if you can't find that, look for Lara Croft in your butt.
I do want to read out, actually, some stuff that that happened from last week. So a few people have written in and said that they were quite surprised at my reaction because I made out kind of like the laser pen thing for Virgin Atlantic didn't really matter. And that if that's the way it came across, I can't do anything but apologise because that's not what I intended. What I was shocked by was the statistics that were listed in the story of the fact that this plane was 6 miles out, therefore probably 6,000 or 7,000 feet in the air over Windsor, and they still got hit with a laser pen. So I started doing a bit of digging, and there's quite a few of us in the chat room on Tuesday, I think maybe Wednesday, were sitting typing stuff in, and I was like, oh, that's an interesting point, and I went and Googled it, and then it struck me that the Google searches that I'd been doing in the previous 30 minutes probably would get me in an awful lot of shit with someone if they actually bothered to find out and look at my history. But one of the things I did do was I have a follow on Twitter, a guy called @Cambuntu, C-A-M-B-U-N-T-U, and he's a commercial airline pilot. And I thought, this is the guy I need to talk to. So I went out and I put down all the stats that I'd got from the story that we shot last week. And said, it just struck me as this is kind of like a really lucky shot. And then the fact that they went on to 36,000 feet and they're out 500 miles over Ireland was a bit suspicious. And he said, no, it all sounds perfectly correct and reasonable to me. These lasers, and I've seen a few, are really powerful, could easily get you at that height. And I think he was inferring the fact that, you know, perhaps if there was a bank taking place or something like that, you would hit someone. He said the aircraft would still probably be at 7,000 feet and would be very big to a person on the ground. And the flashing lights would be very easy to aim, especially if there was a light mist or something in the area where in the air where you could see where the aim was going. I can see a scenario where they continued to climb because it's the easiest thing to do at the time as the aircraft is already doing it. It's on autopilot while things are sorted out, and then a decision was made later on to decide whether to return or not. There was no need to rush it. In aviation, it's often the best thing to do when something happens. The advice is to sit on your hands. It means you don't need to do anything rash, and it gives you time to think. It all sounds perfectly viable to me. So that's from a commercial airline pilot. Thanks to him for I don't know his real name. It's Cambuntu on Twitter.
That's actually a really good response. I mean, what I know about these lasers is that they, I think, I know it sounds ridiculous, but I read about these green ones, these super pens, they call them. Could actually reach the moon. Like, literally, that's what they say. The strength of them is that strong that you could shine it onto the moon.
It depends.
That's what I've read. But yeah. I don't know. That's fact.
The green lasers, there's a problem where some companies are manufacturing the lasers. I don't want to say incorrectly, but that's the best word I have at the moment. And what happens is they manufacture them with the wrong, I guess, strength, and so they have the potential to be, well, to actually damage your eyes if you look at them, and I don't know why companies are having a hard time with the green. I mean, they can do red without any problem, but they get that strength wrong on the green, and there are companies out there that will actually sell you glasses that you can wear that will filter out the green light from one of those lasers, so that if you're in a you know, like a lecture and someone's using a green laser as a pointer, you don't have to worry about whether or not they bought a quality one that's been manufactured correctly or a cheap one that is at the wrong signal strength. And yeah, if it's the wrong strength, sure, you can really mess up someone's eyes and send a beam a lot farther than you'd expect.
Yeah, I went to a few websites, and one of the things that they said there was about a lingering after image. So that was the key, I think. And I think that's where it kind of struck me that Kambuntu's response was quite right. The plane's on autopilot. It's climbing by itself, and it's following its path. So, you know, it doesn't need intervention. The plane's not in any immediate danger. Let's see what happens. And if you're out over the Irish Sea and then beyond over the Atlantic, and you're only, you know, you probably have to burn a bit of fuel, I guess, or something maybe before you come back, I'm guessing. But the idea of the fact, you know, there's no imminent danger here. Let's wait and see what happens. And then the guys go, no, I'm still getting after imaging. Then I can't fly the plane. So, okay, let's go back and let's start all over again. Great response. Thanks ever so much to Kambuntu for doing that. And he's a commercial airline pilot in Australia. So he's a real guy. Proper knows what he's talking about. And a good photographer as well, actually. He's got some good stuff up. Thanks for assisting. Cool. Batwinch has put a link in the chat room that goes to do with the stuff we were talking about earlier. I wouldn't click on it. Certainly not work safe, let's say. Yes.
It depends on what your job is, Ewan.
Okay. Rectal temperature and spanking of a schoolgirl. I don't think there's many jobs that would accept that myself, to be honest.
Proctologist, that's also...
I'm sure it's a figurative schoolgirl and not a Jimmy Savile level schoolgirl, but either way, it's not work safe. Don't click on it. And I'm surprised at Batwinch for doing that, I have to say. Disgraceful. Tez, you've put a link in. Best VR headsets to buy in 2016, whatever your budget.
So
this is an interesting one for me, because I can go back to, I remember doing a thing with a police force years ago, and I'm going back, I've got to be going back 20, 25 years, and they did a pursuit thing, and it was very much based around, do you remember the tanks game? That used to have, and it was white triangles were like blocks of mountains.
Oh, I love that game.
Yeah, and they had a thing that you did, but it was done as a police force for a car chase, and I shot some stuff to do with this, and that had virtual reality headsets on, and I'm going back 20, 25 years potentially. I can't remember the exact date because I didn't keep.
Pretty much taken the words out of my mouth.
Well, go for it, because they've been promising the earth with VR for 20, 25 years and never delivered a damn sodding thing. So
exactly. So the link I've just put in there is a virtual reality Tomorrow's World episode from 1990, which I actually remember. I may have only been like 5 or 6 years old at the time, but I remember seeing it on
film. You absolute bastard.
Child. Sorry, old guys.
Young whippersnappers, you shouldn't let them on here, you know.
Moving on. Go on.
So anyway, I've just got to say, it seems like every time I come on the show, it just seems to come up about how much younger than you all I am. So anyway, the...
You passed your bedtime.
The Tomorrow's World F.
Yeah, F Terry. Too right I have, the cheeky little shit. That's what you get.
You have an incoming call from
Terry. You great child.
Right, Terry, don't be a little shit. Off you go, carry on.
That's right, or Ewan will send you back to your room again.
I forgot. No, I haven't. Okay.
You were saying stuff that got you cut off, mate, for being a cheeky little shit, so start again, eh?
Okay. So, back in the 90s, there was this virtual reality there was a virtual reality video. Anyway, I remember seeing it on that. I remember seeing it on programs like Blue Peter and even on the news at the time about these cool headsets that you could have. And it was so amazing that you could actually wear this thing and you would literally be in another world. And every time I see, like you said, Ewan, every time I see something that comes out and I see these sort of rather large headsets as well, it always takes me back to that. I always think about, like, that technology. And it feels like the only real difference is the size of the headset and the graphics. I know that's not the only real difference, but it does feel like that. But this article itself goes through all the best VR headsets to buy in 2016. One of which surprises me is the £99 Samsung one, which I'm sorry, kind of feels like the Google Cardboard, which is, I think, is that about 20?
Tenner?
Tenner, yeah.
Yeah, about tenner.
Like I don't really understand why we've got you would pay 90 odd quid for that, but anyway. I've kind of lost my train of thought now. Just looking at all of these, thinking, oh, that one's actually not bad.
No, it's because you clicked on the link from Batwinch, you liar.
Yeah, so HTC are bringing one out, which actually looks kind of cool. It's got a load of sensors on it on the front, and it detects your motion as well through the head, but it's very similar to what the Oculus Rift is going to be doing. The kind of comparison between them as well is quite interesting, because if you look at the way the PlayStation VR is going to work, you're going to have to use your camera as well to do that. And I think it's even got the PlayStation Move kind of technology on there as well.
I love the fact they've included Google Cardboard in this.
It's there. There it is. There's the LG 360 VR as well. Google Cardboard just after that. I mean, it's genius, really. I mean, all it's doing is just splitting your screen in two.
See, I mean, the what's the question you've got here, Terry? Is it which one are you going to spend your money on? Because I'll bet you spend them on none of them.
Well, that's actually exactly the point. You're entirely right. That's the question.
And it's not because you're a tight ass, it's because none of them really thrill.
Exactly. You know, I'm looking at all of these and thinking...
The only backing you've got at the moment is VR porn, I think, is the next thing to come out. I think it's actually already out.
Have you seen how expensive it is, though, for Google Cardboard? It's stupid money. We did talk about it on a show, and I went straight to try and buy some, just as an experiment, of course, a journalistic endeavour.
Oh, yeah,
you understand?
Yeah, of course.
But it was stupid money. It was 30 quid for a 3-minute clip.
For the clip itself?
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah. Jeff, go on, Jeff, you were making a point.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking at the whole thing about what's the best VR headset to buy this year, and I'm thinking they could have done... a similar article. Which is the best black eye to get this year? I mean, sure, you could get one, but why would you want to?
Totally.
I just don't see the whole VR headset thing as a viable market yet. I mean, I still look at these products not as something that has a real world practical use, but more as something that's still very much in an experimental and gimmick phase, and is more a birth control tool than anything else.
Do you remember getting magazines when you were a kid, or you'd go down the local joke shop and you'd buy fake turds and that kind of stuff, but they always had X-ray specs?
Yes, and
it would tell you to look at your hand, and you'd look at your hand and you go, and then you'd realise it wasn't actually a picture of your hand, it was just some shit that they put on the inside of the lenses, because you had decent eyes because you were a kid, you could get away with it, whereas now it would be completely blurred and you'd never see any of it. Yep. To me, that's what VR is at the moment, and what's always, it's what it's been for 30 years, for 20 that's years. It.
Yeah, exactly. So we are now 26 years later. From that Tomorrow's World, we're getting these fantastic headsets, and the technology can now finally catch up to it, so we get a more virtual reality experience. But the issue is that there is a reason why VR didn't take off in the 90s and hasn't in the early 2000s or late 2000s and hasn't where we are now. It's just not ready. I think we're not ready as consumers to consume it.
Well, we had Robert Birch. Thank you very much, Robert, for bringing it. It was awesome at the Bash last year. Rob Birch on Twitter bought in an Oculus Rift. He bought two in, actually. and he had them set up on games that he'd done because he works as a developer and they were trying stuff out with it. And actually, it was pretty cool. I mean, it was smooth. The screen flow rate was good. The refresh rate on it was excellent. And it felt pretty immersive. And I had a go at, there was like an Asphalt 8 kind of game, Wipeout type game, where you went around these circular tracks. And I was following this thing and doing okay. And then I realized, actually, what I didn't want to do was look ahead of the vehicle that I was in. I wanted to look where I wanted the vehicle to go. So the vehicle was down here, and I would point, you know, my eyes would go up to the top right because that's where the track was going. And I suddenly got exponentially better at it, apart from the fact I wanted to chunder, because it suddenly became this repulsive experience where it was like, oh, holy crap, my ears are telling me that I'm not moving, my eyes are telling me that I am, and I want to puke. And I'm not a great one for motion sickness, I have to say. It's not something I've ever suffered from when I've been on planes or doing that kind of stuff. But once I started using it right, it was a great experience, but it motion-wise, it just didn't figure with me. And I'm not a motion sick person at all. So if you are, you know, you probably couldn't have managed it. And I know at least two of you had a go on that, didn't you? Chris and...
Yeah, I did.
So what was your thoughts on it, Chris?
I liked it. I kind of put the VR headsets in the very similar box to 3D TVs at home. I put it on. I liked it. I liked the initial experience of it. I thought it was really clever. If I had one, going out and paid the money on one, would I want to pick it up more than a couple of times? I'm not so sure. And I think for me, it's a very similar sort of scenario with 3D TVs at home. That, you know, great initial concept, a little bit of sort of a novelty factor. You try it out, but then you never use it.
No, and Righty.
Well, Chris is perfectly right. I tried, because I think we had the Samsung VR, the Oculus Rift, your cardboard as well, and I used it and it was fun. At the point I got home, I didn't think I'm going to invest in VR. It was a bit of fun for like 5 minutes. I didn't feel sick using it, but I wasn't going to invest any money in it. It is like it was in the arcades. It's 5 minutes of fun, and then you walk away.
See, now there's a comment from Ian. Ian here has said in the chat room, I don't know why he didn't say it, there's always going to be a percentage of us that have motion sickness and not be able to use them properly. And I would have agreed with you totally there, mate, if it had been for the fact that you were talking to someone who suffered from motion sickness or had a history of suffering from motion sickness and that kind of thing. But I haven't. And I don't know whether these guys were using it the way I was using it, but when I started playing this game, as I said, when I looked where I wanted to go rather than looking at where I was going, I suddenly got to play the game far better, but I was sick in the process, and I can't think many people wouldn't be that, because I'm not a motion sick person. But
I am. That's the thing. I know. Not Jim. I was when I was a small boy. I'm not now as a grown man. But any of those kind of games, if I'm behind the person games, if I watch those on the TV, I'm my son playing those on a big telly, I feel sick. With the perspective constantly changing and moving around. So I can't imagine it'd be any better if I stick a thing on my head and the goggles are strapped to my eyes. It's just one of those things, like flying cars and other stuff. They've still not got it quite right, though, because of the... You're still sort of separated from, as you were saying, between you moving and what you're seeing with your eyes is moving. The disconnect will always, I think, confuse some people's brains and make you feel ill.
I wonder if it would get any better if you are growing up with it from a young age. You know, if we get a generation hooked onto VR.
Oh, you need to find someone who's overcome motion sickness. If you like, by getting used to being in motion, I suppose. I don't know. NASA's got to have some studies on this. Come on.
What is that spinning thing they stick the astronauts in, isn't there, to get you used to the kind of
the centrifuge thing?
Yes.
Muller's put in the chat room, I was pissed last year. I didn't have a single drink all day at the bash. Not one.
It might be dependent as well, from a VR headset, the type of game that you're playing as well. I remember, I think it was on the Gadget Show or something like that, a year or two back, and there was a clip of a Call of Duty type game, So got the headset on. You're in a full almost 360 walking platform. So you're running down the corridors, you know, you can kind of, your body's physically moving, but your VR headset's looking around corners and things like that, and you've got your gun to aim with. So I kind of think because your body's moving, that may take some of the motion sickness away, but maybe when you stood still and it's just your head all over the place, maybe that can kick in and you get a great feeling.
It's definitely a disparity between what your eyes are seeing and your ears are feeling. No question. Mm-hmm. There's a video that's been posted in the chat room by Batwinch saying you and on VR, and that's me before I got motion sickness. If you watch the way I'm working it, my head's moving, but my head is moving based on where I'm looking that I'm going, not me looking up, because that's the way the track is going. And when I started looking further down the track, that's when I got the motion sickness from it. So
right.
It was a great experience. I loved it to bits, and I'm glad I experienced it. Did it make me want to get an Oculus Rift? A little bit. And I know Chiz from the Gamer Show, he went on the Oculus Rift with the Alien Isolation game. Do you remember that one last year?
Oh, it's a brilliant game.
Yeah, I mean, that's poop your pants good. And and we got video of the Gamer Show guys actually pooping their pants on that. But he did it with the Oculus Rift on, and he said it took it to like a whole new level. It was, because now your head's whipping round looking for stuff constantly. And and it was a completely different game with that one. So there is a lot of positives associated with it. So I'm going to hold back. I'm not going to get it. But I think, this is the interesting thing for me. I have a price point in my head that if they give me something that's viable and functional and cool, like the Oculus Rift that I saw last year, I have a price in my head that I'm willing to just go, you know what, I'm having it. What's your price for that? Yeah, do you know what? I'm having it.
Probably between 100 and 200. If I know that what I'm paying for is quality, that I don't have to get any extra upgrades for it or anything like that,
yeah.
Then I would say between 100 and 200. Maybe let's go bang on 150. That's my limit.
Okay, Jeff?
$99.
Really? That's quite low, you tight ass.
I know, but my interest in a VR system is pretty low. So you'd have to get below that magic $100 point before I would be interested, because I know I'll use it for a few weeks, maybe, and then it's just going to sit on the shelf and collect dust.
Yeah, okay. Righty?
Well, I'd probably say a couple hundred quid, but they are saying that the Oculus is like 700 quid. You need a grand worth of PC to run it as well, don't you? So
yeah, that's the flip side, isn't it? It's the actual gear you need to run it as well. Dead. Your computer needs to be awesome.
Dead at that point. Yeah. These have got to run on Xbox and PlayStation. Ian, have you got a figure?
Which one?
For the keep up, mate. That you're willing to just jump in at VR, you know, for you and the kids.
No. Zero. I wouldn't buy it.
You wouldn't buy it, right? Okay, and Chris?
I think for me it'd be less than 100. I'm thinking I bought Google Cardboard at £10, and other than Drive City Coaster,
I bought Cardboard at £10 and it were vastly overpriced.
Apart from Drive City Coaster, I think the content's got to be good for me to want to buy into it, and I'm probably about 100 and 150 maximum I'd go to.
But if VR Whippet Racing comes out, mate, you're in.
Yeah, maybe if there's a few winners coming, yeah.
Well, either that or the Forrest Gump form of rugby, and that's you sold. Anyway.
I'm staying out with that one.
I'd have said 200. 200 quid, I'm in. I'd buy it at that. But it's got to be Oculus Rift level of quality and refresh rate. And there's no way on God's green earth I'm paying £800 for Oculus Rift. You can shove it up your arse, Zuckerberg.
To interject there, the Oculus Rift at £700 or whatever is the, I think that, isn't that the developer version? So you're paying for a developer one, not an actual consumer one, I'm hoping.
Well, there is no consumer one, so that's the point.
Well, when it comes out.
So, you know, it's and there's been no consumer one for 4 years, pretty much.
Exactly.
Which is just kind of like, you know, okay. And HoloLens, don't even start talking to me about HoloLens, because all I've seen so far is some shit animation from Pixar, effectively, that's a wall falling down with Minecraft in the background.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that video.
Oh, I'd like to describe it as vaporware, but it's not even sniffware. It's just, it's fantasy.
There's a HoloLens on the International Space Station right now. Microsoft sent it up so that they could do some tests for, I'm assuming, to see if they can find practical uses for the technology in the space programs. Of course, also because it's a great gimmick and publicity thing for Microsoft.
Yeah, I still don't. They're probably sitting there going, I bet you that is floating around, gathering dust.
To test it on some people who really won't have motion sickness.
Yeah, they understand motion sickness, absolutely. Good story, mate, good story. I'd be interested to see who really does plump for it when it becomes available for a lot of platforms. I think it's got to hit Xbox One or PS4, otherwise no one's buying it. Gaming market, okay, fair enough, that'll be on its own, but no one's going to buy it to try and run it on a Mac or something like that. It's not going to happen.
Steam, I don't know, Oculus Rift and Steam are doing pretty well. People are developing games on Greenlight on there, and they're doing Oculus Rift compatible
but
games.
But really, a grand?
I know, I agree. Price range is just
far too much.
Really? Yeah, no, I don't see that. Jeff, you put in the Atlas, the next generation Atlas from Boston Dynamics.
Yes.
I am fascinated as to what story you're intending to spin from this, because this thing is, it's very cool, but it's also very disturbing, I think.
Yes, and I'm assuming everyone's thinking that I'm going to go with a sex bot story.
No.
Or spin on this, but no, I'm actually not. My take when I saw the video was, holy crap, we are getting so close to a point where we can have functional bipedal human-ish robots. I mean, this is still not something that's practical. It's just not practical. But as a proof of concept for where we're going with robotics, I mean, holy crap, this is amazing. It's the robot, it's not tethered to anything. And that's a big step forward for this type of device. And watching it as it just through its own built-in computer system, figures out how to navigate indoors and outdoors without falling over, and reacts to a changing environment. They do stuff like knock boxes out of its hands, and it has to pick them up, and then they're total jerks, and as it goes to pick them up, they pull them away, and it has to adapt and move to pick up the box that was just moved. And I'm looking at this, and I'm curious, how close are we to being at a point where we can have robots that can work autonomously and do things that are actually helpful in the real world?
Well, I mean, the thing is, with the Boston Dynamics stuff, is the way that these things move is actually fairly scary. And
the
one that you've picked there, the Atlas, it's walking across pretty uneven terrain with snow on it and slippery surfaces, and it's not putting a foot wrong.
Right, yeah, and you can see a couple places where it maybe slips a little bit, or wasn't quite prepared for the angle as the terrain moved, and then it catches itself and it rebalances and keeps moving without falling over.
It is impressive. And the dog, there's a dog on like the spot, and it's on a, we showed it on the big show a few months back, and the guy kicks it from the side, you know, and it's like, holy crap, that's gonna knock that over. And the thing skids to one side, and it recovers like it's a dog. The actual motion is extremely realistic. The Boston, I know there's probably some, there's probably some moral issues with what Boston Dynamics do, because I think they're a bit more defence industry, but a bit more attack than defence. I might be wrong, but...
Yeah, the
No, you're right. Atlas is owned by Google, as I recall.
Yeah.
Well, now Alphabet.
Yeah. And it is doing harm. It's set up to do harm.
But this is where it gets kind of murky, because, yes, a lot of what Atlas is doing is working on technologies that can be used in a military setting, but these same technologies have the potential to be incredibly useful outside of the military circles. Now, the dog, they tried to sell this to the United States Army, I believe it was, and they passed. And the reason being is because they're far too loud. And the idea that they presented to the military was you can deploy the dog style robot with troops, and then these can be like a pack mule in essence. So you can load them up with equipment, and then they just march along with your soldiers, and the soldiers don't have to carry as much gear. And you can take gear into areas where it would be difficult or impossible to move, say, a truck. But the problem is they just make way too much noise. So there's not a good military use for these yet.
No. I mean, you do see it as like you say, pack mule, or as, you could strap some explosives onto this thing and just get it to run at the enemy, because it does run horrifically quickly.
Yeah. Oh, it's crazy how fast these things can move. Yeah, and...
Or you'd send it in a cave matrix or something like that.
Yeah. Now, how far away are we from a point where we can have a biped-style robot that can move as quickly and efficiently as the dog style does? And once we've got that, can you imagine strapping guns or explosives to something like that and sending it on a sprint across a battlefield?
Come on.
Yeah. At this point, I'm visualizing a point where they could do something like we saw in the Star Wars movies, where you have competent versions of battle droids that are running around fighting wars for us.
At that point, we do really have RoboCop.
Yeah. Yes.
So is that the ultimate goal then? Because obviously Google acquired Boston Dynamics. What is their ultimate goal of buying them and developing all this?
Sell it to the military, make a lot of money.
Yeah, no. I mean, once you get DARPA funding, mate, you're minted.
Oh, yeah.
Minted, sir. Minted. I mean, interestingly, though, I'm sure these things could be turned to things like UXP purposes, unexploded bombs and that kind of thing. It'd be a lot better to send one of these things in for the man controlling it than it would be to have a man there in a suit.
Well, you've also got the things of, like, application. If you talk about natural disasters like earthquakes and so on, you strap some supplies, some food, some first aid onto one of these things and just say, right, off you go, sunshine, here's a GPS coordinate. And the thing is, the agility of these guys, they could get over some severely collapsed buildings, etc. You look at the 9/11 style collapse of the building there. If that was an earthquake style event, then these things are climbing over, they're mountain goats in effect. So
you could specialize these things so they can go into a disaster area loaded with all the equipment they need to help survivors, and also have them programmed to handle triage for medical issues. They could march in. They could build their own temporary medical facility and then bring people in that are injured and perform surgery on them or set broken bones and stuff.
Wow.
Become self-aware?
And become self-aware and then decide that fleshy bags of mostly water aren't worth saving.
Excellent. Good story, Jeff, I think.
I'm going to go with there's a lot of potential for good for humans in these robots, and I hope that's the path they take, as opposed to turning them into something that that just becomes a horrible, destructive, bad thing.
One would like to think so.
That's right.
But one is not holding one's breath.
Right, and Deep Pans wants me to bring it home and call him the sex robot card. And of course, if you get these to the point where they can do all many other things for us, why not be your special little Friday night experience?
I'm guessing that there are certain scenarios where if you do see one of these, you're if that's what you mean.
It's literally. That's, yeah.
Yes.
That's not it. Spotify. Would you like, we did talk about Spotify last week, didn't we? And we said, you know, is Spotify dead? But Chris, you put in, listen to Spotify without a phone using this tiny device. Tell us more.
Yeah, so this is a Kickstarter at the moment. A Kickstarter company called Mighty, they've been working with Spotify it's absolutely got the full blessing of Spotify to run with this. And therefore it's not something that Spotify as a company are going to stop being able to accept the streams. So this Kickstarter's out there, and this company, Mighty, are essentially creating what I see as an iPod, forgot the name of it now.
Shuffle.
An iPod Shuffle, that where you can sync over Wi-Fi or Bluetooth your Spotify playlists, and on one charge you take about 48 hours worth of music, and then you can use... Yeah, you can listen to all your Spotify playlists without a network connection. So I see some decent uses for this in the gym, running, walking. You don't even want to carry your phone. You want a device where you can sync your playlist. You're a Spotify premium subscriber. And I see some uses for this. But I can't see the longevity of it, given potential trouble that Spotify could be in the streaming marketplace.
So we're going to save Spotify by going back to 2005.
Yeah, that's kind of my point. Is this Kickstarter? I mean, this Kickstarter's getting some funding as well. It's already on $140,000 of a $250,000 goal with just short of a month to go. And I'm thinking people, are they just throwing their money away on this one?
Well, it's that whole thing we talked about last week. I think Spotify is trying to find a way to differentiate from... all the other streaming services. I think a lot of the record labels are more kind of going to Apple Music and Google Play and those sort of things. I think Spotify are going to, you know, you just say they're throwing their weight behind this. They're going to try anything to make something that's different, aren't they? But this is just something that Apple could just do in the next iPod, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it feels a bit like the only uses I can think of is what I do already anyways, download music to play offline. But, you know, airplane, holiday, that's it. But, I mean, even now you've got Wi-Fi on holiday, so it really is just down to the airplane. In fact, I think last year my wife went away somewhere and you could pay to use Wi-Fi on the airplane. So even there was still, you know, there was still internet. So being able to have something offline is not, I don't think it's that wow anymore.
Am I missing something? I'm totally not getting why I would want this at all.
And that was kind of my point in bringing this story in, Jeff, around, I think maybe they've got some support of Spotify, but I just don't see where, why anybody would want to use something like this. And unless there's a future in Spotify that none of us know about, this sort of device that's going to retail at around $80, so it's
$80.
Yeah, so it's more expensive than the iPod Shuffle. It's got no USB, like waterproof, for instance, so you could use it on the beach, somewhere where you wouldn't want to take your phone.
Christ.
Yeah.
So I bought the wife an iPod Nano for her birthday, because that's what she wanted to go running with, and it was £129 with an inscription on it. I'm going to say 16 gig of storage, which is more than enough. And she went straight online, bought Britain's favourite running songs, and she hasn't got anything else on it. That's it. She's happy as Larry. She's got a Bluetooth set of earphones and a little clip thing that sticks on her running top, and that's it. And that's what she wants. And this isn't replacing that. This isn't doing more than that. And you know, Sharon's got the ability now to go to Apple Music, because I pay the subscription, and plug it into her laptop and drag all the stuff that she wants over to it to play offline. So
So Spotify are it's obviously supporting Mighty and rolling it out, and it feels a little bit like desperation now from Spotify. Portal talked last week, like you said, around the Google Chrome giveaways for subscriptions. Now there's things like this coming out, and I think Spotify really now starting to sort of show their desperation to try and stay in the marketplace.
I mean, what's the feeling on the clock he's ticking on Spotify? How long are we talking before it's someone jumps ship and says, you know what, stuff it?
I think the prime for takeover now.
But what are you buying, though?
I think there's a bit of a customer base. I think there's... I mean, I'm not a user of Google Play, but there's some rumours out there that Spotify are looking to move a lot of their infrastructure into Google, continue with Amazon Web Services, and is there something in that that actually Google might be primed to take them over and take the breadth of songs that they've got and take their customer base with them?
I'm struggling to see what you're buying into here, what the value is, and what you're going to do with it once you've got it, because you're talking about a company that's dying. You buy the assets from a company, but this company doesn't have any assets. It's got no bricks and mortar. It's got no...
Does anybody find it interesting, though, that it's that people are actually choosing paid-for services over the free Spotify? I find that quite interesting.
But the free Spotify is a pain in the arse because of every advert that you get every other song.
Mm-hmm. Spotify has over 20 million subscribers.
Yeah, it's the user base.
So that's substantial.
Well, that database isn't worth that much, though, surely.
The value that I see in buying Spotify, if someone were to do that, would be along the lines of the value that Apple got out of buying Beats Music and the whole Beats company. And you're buying an infrastructure that's already in place that you can then rework for your own new service. So if you have a business model that you're sure just won't fail for the streaming music market, but you don't want to have to start from scratch, you could buy Spotify, retool it to be whatever it is that you want, and you've already got a 20 million at least user base to work from.
Yeah,
but still, that's quite a gamble.
That's huge. Yeah,
but that's what, when Audio shut down, it wasn't a Pandora who bought all their assets, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, and so it's the same sort of thing, isn't it? RDA was big enough, and they didn't. I don't think they want the customer base so much. They want, like Jeff says, the infrastructure of what they'd already built, because it's a ready-made structure for you to do what they wanted to do.
Yeah.
So I think they're prime for buying.
Yeah, I agree. I think all Spotify can do now is try and hold on to the subscribers that they've got long enough for somebody to come along and buy them.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if someone does buy them, because even though they're having issues, they are still one of the largest streaming music companies out there. I mean, right now your big streaming companies is, how does it sound? You have Apple Music, and then you have Pandora and Spotify. Those are your big ones.
And you've got the rumors out there that Amazon are wanting to get into the subscription music market to.
Of course they are.
Yeah, Amazon Prime Music is actually all right. The one thing I'm actually paying attention to the most is kind of similar to Tidal, is what's going to give me the best quality music for my money. I think Tidal's too expensive. I think we've been over that before as well. But they've now got a two-tier service where for £15 a month you get normal bitrate, and for £20 a month, I think is their pro, their full high definition music, which it still doesn't appeal to me, because it is still £20 a month for other services. I think I pay £10 a month for the music family plan on Google, but then I kind of wonder why I'm still paying for that when I pay for Prime every year, and I've got Prime Music, and I've got Prime Videos, and I've got everything else that comes with my Amazon Prime. So, you know, the only difference is, I think, in the Prime service is I haven't really gotten to love their UI. I haven't really gotten to love their software that comes with it. And so it's got to be easy, I think. It's got to be easy for me to use. It's got to be easy for me to to actually want to use it as well. And I don't think that that they're there. I think Tidal's there. I think iTunes is a bit finicky on the phones, if I'm honest. And I think Google Play Music is just, it's just click, click, done for me. So that's why it stuck with me. And yeah, I never really got with Spotify because, I don't know, I think it felt clumsy to me.
I mean, there's a comment in the chat room here from Markov who's saying, has this got a GPS on it or an exercise application? I'm guessing not. And there's the point straight away, is the fact that there is just sod all to appeal to this. And you probably struggle to get music to play on it. I'm guaranteeing you there are certain computers you plug this into, I'm thinking mostly of Apple, and it goes, what? No, I'm not putting anything on there.
Yeah, reading the article on this, there's a separate app and you sync it via an app.
Which is non-Mac compatible, Android only.
Probably.
Yeah, something like that. Good story. BT OpenReach is given a bit of a kicking by Ofcom this week, and someone's put in the story in the Register. Gosh, what a huge shock. Ofcom shies away from BT OpenReach split but calls for reform. This is the opening up of the digital cable network, isn't it?
That's right, yeah. It's because of OpenReach. Basically still own all the wires, basically, that go around the UK for most of anything that runs on... All the telephone system still is BT, predominantly. Quite a lot of the network and the fibre stuff is still predominantly BT. There is a bit of Virgin around the place, but almost everywhere and anywhere rural will still be BT. And the conflict of interest exists because one of the largest internet providers in the UK, BT Internet, own the company that owned the wires. And they're not, and from what I gather, they're not always the most reliable in terms of sharing with the other partners. People like Blastnet and the other ones, and this is becoming more and more of a problem. And customers and everybody, customers, both business and sort of at home, are complaining vigorously. And Ofcom's starting to recognise this finally, because the human experience is becoming so poor. They're a lot run to themselves. It is still very much we'll do it next week. Get me right. And it's been like it for years. And we had some problems. When we moved here in terms of getting our lines sorted out.
So are you on a fast line or are you on a copper line?
I'm on a copper line.
Are you copper to the door or are you copper from Doncaster?
I'm copper to the village, in fact. Just down in the village where we live, there's a full BT substation.
Right, so that's fibre into that and then you copper from there up to your place.
Yeah, I'm copper from up to where we are, yeah.
Yeah, so...
We could get fibre up here, but it'd be no faster than the copper.
What's your peak speed?
About 15 meg.
Wow.
I mean, it's massive, isn't it?
15 down, Jesus.
But York is one of the cities that have been mooted to have this new 100 meg fibre everywhere soon. So hopefully we'll get to enjoy that soon.
Yeah, no, that's cool. Another 2 years before you become 4 years behind?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, okay.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, we're sat on nearly 250 here tonight.
Yes.
So, sorry.
Excuse me, yeah, when I
can't sorry.
On Virgin Cable, but I mean, the key thing is that the split services are all based on copper to the door, aren't they? So if you go with Plusnet, if you go with Virgin Media, that's not the cable version, and all of the other services that are out there, you can buy TalkTalk and so on. You're getting copper to the door. You're not getting cable, are you? You're not getting the cable service that goes to copper to the door. You're getting copper to copper. Am I right?
Absolutely. Copper all through, yeah.
I think so. I'm on Sky Fibre and I get copper to the green box, which is about 150 yards away from the house, and then it's copper from there.
Yeah, so you're only getting, and you're getting what, 15 to 20?
I get about 24.
Whoop. So if you wanted the BT 80 megabits service or 120 megabit server, you can't have it. Why? Are you too far from the exchange? Or
yep, I've contacted BT. They can't guarantee me that the 80 meg to my door, and Virgin are done. Unfortunately, cover my street. They cover the street at the end of my street, but they don't cover my street.
Bastards! They do that all over the time. Righty, what do you understand internet? No.
I do be understanding the internet.
Good man, mate.
Yeah, I've got copper to the house, but I've got fibre to the cabinet. I've just done a speed test before you asked me. I've got 27 down and 3.5 up.
All right, excellent, mate. Okay. Jeff, are you fiber or are you...
Cable to the, well, into the area and to my place. We don't have fiber yet, although I think where I am will get fiber before anyone else in Colorado because Google is building a really big center, office facility here in Boulder. And they have already laid fiber to get to some of the Starbucks that are here in Boulder.
Which is the most important thing for Jeff.
That's right.
And the sex toy shop.
Yeah, if only they'd lay cable there and open a Starbucks inside, I'd never have to go outdoors again.
You could sell your apartment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Terry, you're on the west of Birmingham, northwest.
I am, and I've just checked mine. It's 35 megabytes per second, which actually is what they said I would get, surprisingly, and I am copper to the door as well, Sky Fiber. But I know this whole Openreach thing, I think I sent you a message not that long ago wanting to write about it. It took, I think, 2 months to actually get internet sorted for this property. We got the ball rolling, I think, when we found out that we were going to move in and something happened. And then we had to reorder it, and then they had to say, well, it's going to be at least 28 days. I'm like, what the family is that about? It's just a joke. I mean, I can't even fathom why. And when I spoke to Sky about it, they said it's Openreach. When I spoke to Openreach, they said Sky can get back to us and find out what's going on. No, sorry, when I spoke to BT, they said Sky can contact Openreach. Sky wouldn't. It's just, I don't really understand why either.
I thought you were going to say Sky can kiss my rosy red ass then.
They can indeed. No, I need to, I actually do need to post that up because I think that it's certainly mishandled. And I don't think that in this day and age where a flick of a switch is what it should take, it doesn't, you know. And I think Sky are as accountable as Openreach because if the providers started putting pressure on Openreach, whether or not they have a choice to use Openreach is another matter, but if they put pressure on them and every day they get a million phone calls from, you know, what, there's some like 20, 30 providers at least that use Openreach, that is a lot of hassle for them. You know, if we all just complained, if we all just took to Twitter and took to our phones and complained all at the same time, all on the same day, somebody's got to listen to us.
No, there's still a company stuck in the 1950s. They don't care. Oh, that'll be 3 weeks, sir. And then they'll fill in their forms and they'll send a docket off to another man who sends a form off to another man. And then someone gets in a van and drives it off to the substation, sticks the wires in. Oh, that don't work. So he sends another form back and then that goes around the corner and they go another form back. It's still stuck. It's the company. Still stuck. They're still the GPO, basically. And they're still stuck in the 1940s. Until someone fixes it, it'll never be right.
Busby.
Oh, God, I think he still works for him.
The yellow canary. Yeah.
I've still got that somewhere.
No. Have I done everyone's story?
Looks like.
Wow. Are we going an hour?
Bloody hell. Wow. Awesome. Hour and 9 minutes. If you're watching the news and you're sitting thinking, I wonder what's happening in the world, Apple have issued their memorandum of points and authorities on why they believe they shouldn't do the FBI thing. That came out too late for us to do it in the Mac show, so have a watch of that. There we go. Is Busby Allen, as in Alan Hauschel, a digital amoeba on this show? No, he's not. This podcast and others is brought to you by UK2.net. They're awesome. We love them to bits. And you need to support them because they support us. And we couldn't do the shows without them. They store absolutely everything. We've got 3 terabytes worth of video shows that go out on the NQL channel. And that's thanks to UK2. They're absolutely brilliant. If you would like anything for the web, co-location services, hosting, domain names, anything you like, VPS, VPN, it's all there for you. Go and have a check it out. Go to britishnetwork.com/sponsors and there's a whole pile of offer codes there you could get 20% off your basket, plain and simple, because they're really cool. They give us some good stuff to write off. You can get that as well if you're cheeky and you ring them and go, hang on, I'm a BTN listener, there's offer codes, why don't I get that on my renewals? As soon as you ring up, they go, yeah, okay, fair enough, and they give it on your renewals as well, not just the initial purposes. So superb, check them out. They're absolutely brilliant. If you're an existing customer, go to britishtechnetwork.com/UK2 and that'll bring you up your sign-in page for your dashboard, and that gives us kudos to the fact that you're a returning customer from us as well. So thank you very much to UK2. They love us, we love them. Works really well. If you'd like to support the network and send us, you know, a few bucks each month, just whatever you think the shows are worth, you can go to patreon.com/BritishTechNetwork, or you can go to britishtechnetwork.com/Patreon, and it'll link you through. And the money that we get in via the Patreon stuff pays for things like Righty's lighting, which he still hasn't put up, Camp's microphone, the lighting here in the studio, that kind of thing. The Skype wall is getting very old and creaky, so I could really do with some very fast computers to deal with all the Skype lines and get down on the lag and all that. It's just, it's a nightmare. And we do it all free of charge. So please help us out if you can. If you're rich and you've got some money to burn and you want to buy us all Mac Minis for the Skype lines, please do it. That's fine. We will be happy to let you. There you go. Right, have we got a cool thing? Start us off, Techie Tears.
I preempted that totally. This is my totally cool thing. And actually, I should have swapped the shows around, really, because this is compatible with your Apple Pen. It is called the Adobe Capture CC app. It actually has, I think, about three or four functions in one. One is a color matcher, so you can get a great sort of idea of color scheme. Another is that you can turn, if anybody uses vectors or Adobe Illustrator, you can turn any image into a vector. And here is one I made earlier in the chat there. And a vector is basically a fully scalable image, and it is incredible how good this software is. It literally looks at the asset that you're taking a photo of, and it creates a vector. But it can go further than that. And if you, let's say, I don't know, you have a brush and you see a flower or something, you take a photo of that flower, it will isolate the image, and then you can use that as a brush asset in your Photoshop toolkit. I'm really impressed with this. I love digital art. It's something that I used to do a lot of, and probably not so much anymore. So this for me is a real asset.
Excellent. Price? Free?
I don't know. I think it might be free. The only reason it I'm is not free. Sure is it's because free, I've yeah. got Adobe CC.
I thought that. Okay.
Yeah, you can download it for free. It's if you have a Creative Cloud account, there's a more you can do with it, but you can use it. Well, actually, no, they do make use log in with a Creative Cloud account, but you can sign up for the free Creative Cloud account part, mm-hmm. which, yeah, so you can use it for free. You just need to get the free Creative Cloud account, which is not the same thing as getting the apps.
Color matching right. and color profiling is very, very good. I mean, that's a very cool feature in this.
I love it. It's a really good app, and it's fast as well. I think that's what's impressed me most about it, is actually converting these images to vector images within a few seconds, and the touch-up's really easy on it. You know, you can just deselect some of the noise in there and reselect it. It's really good. Another one for Lansom Champagne that I'll share as well.
Good man. Jeff, what do you have for us, sir?
I have something that I wanted to do as my cool thing last week, but unfortunately I couldn't be with you guys. So I'll do it this week. And it's painfully awesome. This is Star Wars Imperial Shuttle with the fold-down wings turned into a drone.
Yeah,
and
this was cool.
And the link that I gave you includes the instructions how to build your own.
Wow.
So I'm guessing the wing movement is just plain and simple the stuff that you get with like a landing gear or something like that on an FPV.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah, but the fact that the propellers are inverted as well is kind of cool. I like that.
Yeah, and it just looks awesome.
It is good. It's very good. This came out a couple of weeks back, but it's just incredible.
Absolutely. Yes, and I have been just champing at the bit to use this as a cool thing on the show.
Excellent.
And it's just awesome. And I love that Make put together instructions so you can follow along and build your own if you want.
MakeZine.com/projects/imperial-shuttle-drone.
That looks awesome.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's really, really cool.
Techie Tez is going through all his vector graphics, and all he can do so far is find alcohol, which is a telling sign.
I have no problem with this.
No, is he even helped enough?
It means you're part of the project, mate. Ian, what have you got for us as a cool thing, mate?
I've got the AA parking app. It saved me untold aggravation today when I was in Leeds trying to find somewhere to park. Dead simple little thing. You whack in where you are, where your location is. Tells me where the local car parks are. Shows you what price it is to park in the one. And I found a handy one and got parked up.
I'm an AA member. I didn't even know about this.
You know, I had to look at the link just to make sure that I understood what you were talking about. Because here in the United States, AA is typically associated with alcohol.
Yeah, but you've got AAA, haven't you? So
you got AAA in the States. Yeah,
so I was thinking, this is brilliant. You go to your AA meeting drunk, can't remember where you parked your car. This app will get you back to it.
It's a couple of quid in the app store, but it's a dead handy little thing today.
It looks good. Muller in the chat room is taking the piss. Is it the A-Up parking app?
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
As opposed to the AA parking app. Well done, mate. Like that one. Righty boy, what's a cool thing for you, dude?
Well, two of the best games I've ever played are the Walking Dead games. I don't know if you've played them, the Telltale games.
No.
Telltale one.
They're absolutely brilliant games. They kind of go back to the old kind of retro kind of adventure games where you give them a scenario, you choose if you go left, right, or whatever, you make a decision. But the games are always built on... whatever decision you make, the game develops on what you've done. And now the third installment of the Walking Dead game is out. And I've downloaded this week, and it's absolutely amazing. It's on Xbox One, Xbox 360, PS3, PS4, iOS, PC. It's just the most fun. Like, I watch it with the wife, and it's like watching a movie, but you get to, it's almost like you get to choose how the movie goes. And season one and two, I was absolutely addicted to. I ended the season two really badly because I chose the wrong decision, and it's a decision I can't actually live with. And the great thing is, when you play season one, the save game from season one carries to season two, and then carries on season three. So decisions you make from all the games always carry through. So no matter who you are, the game is always different, and it's a Episode 1's out now, $3.99, and I think they go every couple of weeks. But it's just the best, most immersive game you could ever play.
Sounds too odd.
No, it's really easy. It's literally like, you know, you get a scenario, and it's like, are you going to kill him? Are you going to save her or him? And you press a button on the control pad. And it's literally that. It's not like quick reactions or anything like that. But it's just that it's like watching a movie, but you choose how it finishes. It's brilliant.
Okay. Cool. I like that. Well done. Good call. Thank you very much, sir. And last but by no means least, Camps.
Yeah, so my pick this week. We talked in last week's show that we were going to the National Space Centre. So we went there last Friday. And on getting home, my daughter, well, in the car on the way home, my daughter's asking, can we see the planets, Daddy? So I thought, what can I find? So I went online and I ended up buying these Celestron Skymaster binoculars. On the run Prime, so free, or £61.41 in the UK if they make you pay for them. And they're not small. I've tripod mounted them just to get a little bit of stability.
Yeah.
And actually really, really good. Great price for what they are.
You'll see the rings around Saturn with those.
Say again.
You'll see the rings around Saturn with those, and you'll see Jupiter and four moons.
Yeah, we saw Jupiter. We've been looking at the moon this week. And yeah, really, I'm really impressed with them. My daughter just thinks it's absolutely amazing that she can sit basically in the living room through the windows, look, and I'm really impressed with the quality of them. So if anybody's out there looking for a reasonably priced set of binoculars to do a little bit of astronomy stargazing type stuff, then I'd absolutely recommend these.
So how old's your daughter?
She's 4, nearly 5.
Oh, you've got a long way to go then, yeah.
Yep.
But once you start talking about the expanse of the universe, mate, it blows your mind.
Yeah, I wanted something. I didn't want it too expensive because I thought, how interested is she really going to be when I buy them? But to be totally honest, for the price of these, I'm really impressed with what they can do.
60 quidish, something like that.
My telescope.
Oh, well, you can get them in the United States, $66.72.
Great price for what they are. Really steady. It doesn't actually tell, if anybody's interested in getting them, it doesn't actually tell you on, for instance, on Amazon that exactly what's in the box. It does come with, obviously, there's binoculars, there's a carry case. It does come with a tripod stand. It doesn't tell you that, so I did buy a separate one. I've ended up sending that back. But the quality of them is fantastic.
It says on an image, tripod and tripod adapter not included.
There is a tripod adapter included in the box. Or certainly there was in the box when I bought them.
Oh yeah, I can see the photo of the adapter there.
Yeah.
That looks great.
It is. It's awesome. Ian, you were saying about your telescope?
So that's a Celestron too. They're very, very good for reasonably priced telescopes and binoculars, sort of thing, that do this kind of stuff. Mm. You just come with any kind of... we got some sort of a CD you could load up onto the PC, which had a load of stuff that kind of hooks up with the camera, rather.
No, mine didn't. I mean, like I said, they're not small. If you see on camera there.
They
are big, yeah. Yeah.
There was a CD that came with it. You could motorise via the binocular, but via the telescope, rather.
All right, nothing like that with these.
Have you noticed how fast things move across the sky since you've been using those?
Unbelievably so, yes.
Yeah, right, okay. So here's the thing that's going to blow your mind, right? Okay. So the sun emits light. It takes 8.3 minutes for the sun to get light to us. So if the sun was to suddenly vanish, it would be 8 minutes before we even noticed. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Jupiter, which you can look at through those binoculars that you've got and see all four moons on that, that takes the sun 43 minutes to get light to Jupiter. And if it's in line with us-ish, do the maths, then it takes over 75 minutes for sun to go to Jupiter and to reflect back to us so that we can see Jupiter. So actually, when you look through those binoculars, you're not seeing Jupiter. You're seeing where Jupiter was 75 minutes ago.
I'm going to try and explain that to a four-year-old.
No, you're not going to explain to a four-year-old. Wait till she's 10 and you can blow her mind then.
Yeah.
But that's the thing that really just blows your mind. And that's only our solar system. Forget about the fact that Betelgeuse, you know, King Richard III was on the throne when Betelgeuse sent out the light. You're looking at it tonight. You know, that kind of stuff just blows your mind beyond belief. That's the coolest thing I can think of ever. And I love that kind of stuff. It takes 78 minutes for the light to go from the sun to Jupiter and back to us. Right. So you're seeing Jupiter where it was 78 minutes ago, and it moves like a fast little sucker across that sky. Mm-mm. Brilliant. Absolutely adore this stuff. Love it. I had a cool thing, but I've forgotten it. you've kidnapped my cool thing. What was it? I can't remember what I picked. Never mind. Do it next week. Stuff it. Right. Where can we get a hold of you, Tez?
I'm at Terry_CY on Twitter, and I am thefrontender.co.uk. Which is currently under. you know, just take the bit from the Mac show and paste it here.
The front ender, yes. Yeah, you might have thought a bit longer about that title.
I did. That's
Oh dear.
Okay. That's worse.
Batwinch has stated that she knows what the speed of light was, and Richard did what, apparently, says Muller. Okay. We've had a review as well. I forgot to do the reviews. Thank you to Tom VF, who left a review, although it's a little bit personal. Good tech talk, bit much sophomoric humour. Sophomoric humour. Sophomore, yeah. I guess it's sophomore.
Juvenile.
Yeah, I think so too. Pros, good topics, and discussion of the week, weekly news about Apple, Microsoft, and phones. You're not listening, mate, because we don't do Apple on this show. Bad luck. The guests know their stuff. The quality production is high. Really? Cons, it's a teenage level of humour, constant sexual double entendre. That'd be Jeff. And be it's me. Really boring host is a bit of a know-it-all. Thanks, mate. The difference, I've had this before with people, right, and I don't know it all at all, but I just, I'm acute enough to know that I shut the when I don't know what I'm talking about. You should try it. There we go. Jeff, where can we get a hold of you, mate? Oh, wrong person. There we go. Jeff.
Sorry about that.
Fucking hell, don't worry.
Yeah, sometimes you try and multitask and just fail. You can find me over at macobserver.com, where I'm writing all kinds of stuff right now about the Apple and FBI thing that we chose not to discuss on the show today. And you can find me on Twitter. I'm Jay Gamet. Same thing on Instagram. And I'm on a buttload of podcasts.
Yeah, just a little. Ian, where are you, sir?
I'm in North Yorkshire, as always, at the IOA, BOA.
And one week we're going to have you in camera.
Next week, please pass a message on a postcard. Where can I get a decent webcam from?
920, mate. Just go and buy the Logitech 920. That's all 20. You need.
Yeah. That's all you need. It's
plug and play on everything. Righty boy, where are you, sir?
Paul's on Twitter, mate, in the Slack room, as always, and tomorrow talking into space.
Mate, that is unbelievable. Is there anywhere we can watch it?
Well, it's, if you follow the, I think it's the Association for Amateur Radio, you follow them, they're setting up the fees and everything. So they're probably doing a lot of the promotion. Also, UEA is doing a lot of as well. So you follow the UEA social networks. I'll put a load of stuff in the chat room tomorrow morning so you can follow it live.
Stuff, yeah, social networks. Just text me, man. I want to be there. I'll be here sitting editing. As soon as I get a text from you, I will tune in, mate.
Yeah, Paul, let's know what sort of time, because I need to book an appointment at work for that exact time. Block some time out of my diary.
Yeah.
If not, I'll Periscope it and I'll invite your boy.
Yes. Yeah, do it.
Okay.
Excellent. The other thing I meant to do, I should do this on the Mac show and I forgot, and I'm sorry that I forgot. One of our community has had some bad news this week. And the guy that was best man at his wedding has found out that he's got quite a rare form of cancer. And it's kind of pseudo-leukemia. I can't remember what he actually said it was. But basically, there was a call went out through the chat room, you know, can you, or the Slack room, you know, that this has happened and this is bad. And I said, well, let's all register. Let's all go and get tested. Let's all go and see. And the Anthony Nolan Trust is the one that you need to go and register with. Unfortunately, most of us are grumpy old fat men, so we don't actually get the opportunity to register. I'm outside the capability of registering with Anthony Nolan. So if you're under 30 and of a reasonable weight, then please, please, please go and register yourself, because the chances are, you know, if you've got the same blood group as Ian's best man, then there's a possibility you could save his life. So please, please, please check out Anthony Nolan Trust and register for donations of blood and bone marrow. So you could save someone's life dead easy, and it's not that hard for you to do, and you live perfectly normally afterwards as well, which is cool. Thanks, mate. And last but by no means least, Camps, where are you, man?
I'm Campion UK on Twitter, regularly on the Big Show on the British Tech Network, always in the Slack room, and occasionally on the Mac Show.
Excellent, mate. Thank you. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter or at Know It All on Twitter as well. back next Thursday, usual stuff. Max show at 7, big show at 9. Yeah, you know you love it, really. Thanks for listening.